Right now on VFN TV, the European Parliament has said it is truly Christian genocide taking place in the world. 100% of Parliament, while our president and our leaders don't even call it genocide at all. Also, bigger, better data. Does it mean better health for us? And justice. How important really is justice to God and the future of our nation? Right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this. If God's on your side, you're on the majority side. No matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me. And when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate this city to you.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go in these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can come through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America.
Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. I want to thank you so much. It means so much to us that you're joining us as our audience as we walk through this thing together, truly shining a light during these difficult and dark times quite often. And our God has good plans in store for those that are His. Did you know that the European Parliament, which, you know, compared to America, that'd be like our Congress, but the European Parliament voted unanimously to be able to identify what's taking place to Christians around the world as genocide. As genocide. As a matter of fact, take a look now.
Members of the European Parliament say that what the Islamic terror group ISIS is doing to Christians and other religious minorities in Syria and Iraq amounts to war crimes and genocide.
It's very important to call it genocide. It's important because it's the truth.
Nina Shea is with Freedom House. Her group has been documenting ISIS atrocities.
In the ISIS-controlled territory, there is no evidence right now of any Christian life. All the Christians have either been killed or driven out. The Yazidis, thousands of them, their women are now sex slaves.
The resolution by the European Parliament says those who intentionally commit atrocities for religious or ethnic reasons must be charged with crimes against humanity.
And if we take this solemn vow of never again, as we have since the Jewish Holocaust under the Nazis, we have to call it as such for the Christians.
Former Congressman Frank Wolf, who has for decades given voice to persecuted Christians around the world, welcomed the unanimous vote, saying it finally recognizes the pain and suffering of those living under constant ISIS threat.
To call it genocide would honor those who have been the subject of genocide, so we remember.
The plight of Middle East Christians is sobering. In Syria, the number of believers has plummeted from 1.2 million to less than 500,000. In neighboring Iraq, roughly two-thirds of that country's 1.5 million Christians have either been killed or forced to flee by ISIS. Shea is now calling on the White House to follow the European Parliament's example and label what's happening to Christians in the Middle East as genocide.
There's a reluctance on the part of the administration to call it genocide against Christians. They have told us privately that they will call it genocide against Yazidis, but not Christians.
On the other hand, Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton has already said that ISIS is committing genocide. During a New Hampshire town hall in late December, Clinton says she was initially reluctant to use the word since it requires countries to take specific action to stop the genocide. Now, she's convinced otherwise.
I am sure now we have enough evidence. What is happening is genocide, deliberately aimed at destroying not only the lives, but wiping out the existence of Christians and other religious minorities in the Middle East in territory controlled by ISIS.
The European Parliament resolution calls on the International Criminal Court to begin investigating violations by ISIS against Christians, Yazidis, and other religious minorities. George Thomas, CBN News.
It is so good that the Parliament, 100% of Parliament in Europe voted to call it what it is. It's genocide against Christians and Christianity. But yet when we call it genocide, that's when you have to stand up and defend the people who are being destroyed. And genocide is trying to remove an entire people group from a particular nation or region or the earth. And that's what happened when Hitler was trying to commit genocide against the Jews, trying to destroy every Jew on the face of the earth. And you look at the birth of the original intent of the United Nations was to say never again. That was the whole purpose of it, you know, to prevent it. But yet it just seems like things are being taken over. But simultaneously, our president refuses to call it genocide, even though it is genocide. And if we call it genocide, then we have to get behind it and start defending the Christians that are being beheaded and killed. But remember James Foley? Do you remember James Foley when he was a reporter that was taken captive, and they were threatening to behead him, and our president came up, and when he was beheaded, they just made an announcement. They beheaded him. This Christian man, they beheaded him, and then he makes a few moments speeches, and he goes right back to playing golf. I mean, identifying it genocide, but the very fact of the actions that followed it. Take a look at this.
Reports.
He spoke for 5 minutes about the death of James Foley.
All of us feel the ache of his absence. All of us mourn his loss.
And immediately afterwards, spent 4 hours on the golf course. Images of the president smiling while Foley's family grieved, making for a harsh headline in the New York Daily News, BAM's Golf War, and a variety of reaction in the city and suburbs.
He just doesn't care. He's an uncaring man.
I think he gave his condolences. He did what he was supposed to do. I don't think that he should always drop his life for society.
He's just totally disconnected.
I feel he's entitled to a life, and he can't just be president all the time. He has to have a life.
You're on vacation golfing while one of your fellow Americans is being tormented in another country. I find that very inappropriate, sir.
At Pace University, political scientist Christopher Malone says perception is reality for politicians, and these images feed a negative perception of President Obama.
Something like this sort of reinforces that sense. Well, maybe he is a little aloof, maybe he's a little isolated. I think that that sort of narrative really is starting to take its toll 6 years into his.
Imagine Parliament votes unanimously to be able to call it what it is, genocide against Christians. Yet when our president hears about the news of a American Christian being beheaded, he goes and plays golf. You're hearing what the Americans are saying. You know, yes, this is the beginning of many people being beheaded. This is how they responded to it. We have to begin to stand up for the persecuted people on the face of the earth. America was known for actually standing up for that. And the Christians, I mean, I remember specifically that when, you know, Glenn Beck, a particular broadcaster with The Blaze, that he was talking to the Jewish people in Israel and saying, you know, that, you know, we need to stand up for the persecution of Jews. And he said some of the Jews, Jewish leaders in Israel said, listen, right now, we need to stand up for you because it's the Christians. And he was referring to Christians. Christians are being persecuted, you know, across the globe right now, greater even than the number of Jews that are being persecuted. I mean, it is time to really to put this all in perspective, because you understand that our own leaders, president, a person that we voted from our own population, sees Christians being beheaded and crucified and being ran out of their communities and towns, but will not even identify what 100% of Parliament identified as genocide against Christians. We need to pray for the persecuted church. We need to realize that it is so serious that the leaders of America, for whatever reason, are darkened in their understanding, and they don't even want to even speak the words of the reality of what's taking place. What does that mean? We're going to be talking more about this in our program, but if we don't stand for justice, if we wait too late, we're bait. Isaiah 58:59 talks about that we have to begin to say, you know, this is unjust, this is not right. It began with James Foley, and he's making that plea, you know, for America to respond, hear his parents. You heard his parents interviewed on VFN TV, what took place there. I mean, it's like, what are we doing? What happened to our heart and our caring hearts towards Christians and the persecuted people on the face of the earth? Join us after the program. We're going to be talking about, you know, how not only is that taking place, but a shifting's taking place of technology where, you know, you think about the days of the Holocaust and how tattooed numbers were being put on to the Jews and people that were in the concentration camps for to track them. But now with all this big data going on, with this high persecution of Jews and Christians, you merge all this thing, we have a big question to ask ourselves, you know, what are we going to do with all this technology? How do we move in that? We'll be talking about that more after the break. Make sure you join us then.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN-TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, technology. I mean, you think about that. There's so many benefits. People, you're people, you're talking about that, you know, I don't believe in technology, you shouldn't use technology, but the very fact how they got to that place that day.
Of course.
You know, technology was involved.
Yeah, they didn't ride a horse to work or a...
Yes. They had some people that were kind of campaigning against the idea of taking away jobs. And it was in Britain. Mm. And they had some guy walking around with a bucket. And he said, listen, I think this plumbing stuff has just took me out of a job. This was a day when you didn't have plumbing, people would actually come and dump the facilities.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, you're familiar with it, right? Going through those processes. And it's like, wow, you know, you think about that. Even the Gutenberg printing press, you know, prior to that, it was handwritten. You know, the monks in the monasteries would rewrite the scriptures, and that was it. And all of a sudden, somebody could do some rapid printing with the Gutenberg printing press, and that was technology. And then, you know, all of the television that you're looking at right now, it's all digital. It's all tech. It's higher tech than the original
tube.
Yeah, tube or things that were going through the airways. Now it's actually digital broadcasting that's taking place across the country. And so technology is impacting us, but we have to pay close attention. What do we do with this thing? Mm. And I want you to hear, because there's a huge benefit. I mean, when you have somebody that's suffering from a sickness or a disease and it takes a long time to be able to figure out the numbers on a chalkboard or a piece of paper, but if a computer can crank out those numbers quicker, then people can be saved. As a matter of fact, we're about to hear from this Dr. Agus here,
has been interviewed by Fareed Zakaria with CNN, talking about how now that numbers are being collected on patients, they're able to cure cancer, even possibly give longer life.
Wow.
Let's take a look at this, and we're going to talk more about it. But as Christians, you know, how do we respond to this? I think it's really, really important. Let's take a look.
Big data has changed much of what we do, how we work, how we shop, how we travel, and so much more. But we are on the brink of a big data revolution in medicine that will change the way we live. That's what my next guest says. David Agus is a professor at USC's Medical School, a New York Times bestselling author, and one of the world's best-known doctors. His new book is The Lucky Years, How to Thrive in a Brave New World of Health. Welcome.
Thank you, Fareed.
So people have been saying for a while now, oh, there's a revolution taking place in medicine, the human genome and all this stuff. And, you know, I just look at it as a consumer of healthcare. It hasn't changed very much. Why is this going to be different now?
We're at that inflection point. Literally, things are changing. So President Obama in his first term said every doctor, to their kicking and screaming and lament, has to do an electronic health record. So all of a sudden, we have data going from illegible handwriting into databases. And we're learning from this big data. At the same time, technology, whether they be genome or proteome or other omes, and other technologies have come together to really create a tipping point. So what has happened in the last several years is transformative, from making cancer more of a chronic disease to learning from big data to manage all diseases, including cognitive decline of the brain. It is wild. We're really at a special time.
So give me an example of how having all this data is going to, in some way, produce a better treatment or cure.
So there was a great case that just happened of women with ovarian cancer, deadly disease when it spreads. They started to look at large numbers of them. And if you happen to be on a blood pressure medicine called a beta blocker, you live about a year and a half longer. So no one would have ever picked this up by biology. But now we are starting to do the real study to make sure it's real. But certainly the data look very encouraging that going on a very inexpensive, non-toxic medicine can add an extra year of life. At the same time, we've done studies, for example, in Europe. And this is a wild one. If you do circles around an airport, the closer you live in, the higher the rate of neurocognitive decline, meaning that the brain needs quiet time every night. And we got that from a big data study. And so, you know, I have a 150-pound dog that snores. So I put those orange earplugs in my ear every night because I can't kick her out of the bedroom. And I get my quiet time and hopefully slow my cognitive decline.
So when you look at something like cancer, the head of MD Anderson, one of the largest, best cancer hospitals in the world, says there is a revolution taking place, and he believes that cancer will become manageable. Why is that?
Well, there are two major phenomena happening. One is, they call the Jimmy Carter effect, right? A 90-plus-year-old individual has melanoma metastatic to the brain, which several years ago was a death sentence. He went on a treatment that blocks the don't-eat-me signal all cancers have on their surface. You know, they block the immune system from attacking it by having this don't-eat-me signal.
So explain that. So the cancer cell has a signal that says "don't eat me"
exactly
to the body's antibodies that might otherwise eat
right. And so these cells called T cells will come in and eat them up, but they're blocked. And so this drug blocks that "don't eat me" signal, and what do you know? He's disease free now, months later. And this is time and time again: kidney cancer, melanoma, some types of lung cancer that works. The other phenomenon that's happening now is we call precision or personalized medicine, which are basically the same thing, which means that covered by insurance, I can have a patient's cancer sequenced. And then I can identify targets, which are on switches. And there are dozens of drugs now that block each of these on switches. So in the old days, we categorized cancer by body part, breast cancer, lung cancer. Well, that came from the 1800s in Europe. Well, now we're categorizing it, but what are the on switches? What are the pathways that are actually signaling the cell, hey, you should go and grow? And we can block them with oral pills. And I've seen it. I can now walk into a patient's room, and I couldn't do this 2 years ago, and with honesty say there is hope to treat your cancer and make it a chronic disease.
You claim that we're even going to be able to start reversing aging. What does that mean, even?
It's the wildest experiment. I mean, hold on to your chair. So the 1950s, this woman named Wanda Lunsford did what was her only experiment in science, and she was actually pushed out. She took an old rat and a young rat, and she tied their skin together. And the blood supplies joined after a day, and then 3 weeks later, she looked. And the brain of the old rat had new neurons growing, The muscles were stronger, the heartbeat better. She claimed she reversed aging. Well, they called her Dracula and Frankenstein. They actually pushed her out of science. Well, earlier this year, three separate labs, one at Harvard, one at University of California, San Francisco, one at Stanford, repeated the experiment, and it worked. And what they showed is that when you and I turn 25, our stem cells go to sleep. And there are proteins that wake up those stem cells and allow them to refunction and make tissue again. And so the future, there are clinical trials now in elderly who have a fracture to accelerate healing by giving these proteins. It's doing the same thing in people with severe cognitive dementia. And we're doing it in cancer. Cancer in kids is up to 90% curable. Those same cancers, when you turn 25, they're incurable. So if I can convince the body it's young, maybe we can have a bigger impact on cancer. And so there's hope. And what's amazing is the way to reverse aging and to actually make us live better is within us already. It's just the sleep. So we're not going to live to 130, but when we live until our 8th, 9th, or 10th decade, hopefully we could do it with real quality years with technologies like this.
And all this comes, or much of it comes out of this ability now to analyze massive quantities of data, both, you know, at the biological level and also health records.
And the cheap technologies. You put all those together, it's powerful. But it is an issue, right? And we saw Blue Cross's database got broken into and hundreds of millions of records accessed. So that's an area that we have to pay attention to and is scary. But at the same time, we all have to say, listen, my medical records, even if they're, when I de-anonymize and take my identifiers on them, I want to give them to the public good because I want to be part of the solution, not the problem. So you have both of those things happening parallelly.
I mean, this is a great, this is a big, you know, what do you do? Because I like the fact that, you know, scientists really discover God.
Right.
They discover how God made the body. And they say maybe we only use like 10% of our brain.
You know, For me, a lot less. But
yeah. You know, God created, you know, the whole brain.
Right.
And when you look at miracles and you look at things, how God brings healing to your body. I mean, every day we experience healing. I mean, you can cut yourself. And you watch what happens over a period of time, immediately the body that God's designed, you're created the image and the likeness of God, begins to heal itself. It's
resilient.
An amazing thing.
It's amazing.
And somebody says, well, I've never experienced healing. It's like, there's, you wouldn't even be alive today.
That's right.
We're constantly, and then the germs and the viruses that are constantly attacking our body, that our body is healing us and destroying those things. It's just a miracle. But what they're finding out through data is that God's designed a pretty awesome body. It's like we have what's inside of us, you know, Dr. Agus is saying, that it just needs to be awakened. And then all of a sudden, the cancer cells that used to be eaten when you're under 25 don't get eaten anymore. Now, all of a sudden, that part of our body just awakens.
Wow.
And we deal with cancer. Because cancer is just like a radical, you know, I'm not a doctor here, but it's just like a rebellious cell that just keeps reproducing, which gets bigger and bigger, a tumor, and it doesn't, can't not be destroyed.
You know, we're talking about technology, we're talking about medicine and people living longer. It's interesting, it would be interesting to find out how much does nutrition or the technology of producing food faster and storing it, how has that affected the body? Because we eat so, you know, our
food
is fast food. Well, no, I've been reading and talking about it, but think about it. We're getting all this fast food, all these type of things.
Right.
That's technology. That's technology. That's faster, quicker, easier, microwave it. And how much of that is affecting our body? It's, you know.
Well, yeah. And then it's what he's talking about. It's just being near an airport and the, you know, concentric rings and you get closer and closer to the noise. Then you have people that their mental capabilities, their ability to think and to function decrease. And having silence is such a rarity. You know, be still and know that I'm God, and that, you know, that it's so important to be able to heal and have that peace. And it's like people just want noise going all the time. They don't know, you know, what peace is like. They feel uncomfortable. But there's healing in the fact of just being silent. Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. But this is huge. I mean, so we say these big computers. You know, he's talking specifically about, you know, Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act. Cause doctors to have to keep digital records instead of paper records, which makes our records vulnerable for people to,
you know, hack
and take them. And not only there won't be any secrets about what people say, there won't be any secrets about your DNA. I mean, it's going to be so out there.
Yeah.
And you know, it's appointed once for men to die. the very fact, you know, the records indicate in history the reason why they came to America originally, the Americas, was they were looking for the Fountain of Youth. And that life expectancy at that time was probably around 40 or 50 or something like that during those days. And, you know, if you lived 110 years, it's still only a smidgen of time in eternity.
That's right.
And so many people, I mean, they want to, you know, I just need to be fixed. You know, I need to, you know, be healed from this and healed from that. And I just pray every healing comes to everyone that needs healing.
Right.
But the fact is that, but what do we want to live for?
That's the magic word. For what?
A television program series, yeah. You know, that people rush home to get to watch, yeah. You know, nothing. I mean, we're not an agricultural society, you know. In the early, late 1800s, it was like 90% of people were working on farms, I believe it was, to produce the food. And now it's only 2% that's actually, if we eat, and 100% of us eat.
Yeah.
But only 2% of us are growing the food that we eat. And it's like, why do we want a longer life? And the Lord said the reason why he created us was to be able to have a relationship with him, to bring him glory. And it's like, it's almost an insult. It's like, okay, I've given you, you know, 50 years,
yeah,
and you want to live beyond 50, and you didn't give me any of those years. You had no relationship with me for 50 years, and you want to live longer in that state?
All these years will be accounted for. They be accounted for.
They will, and God's merciful and kind. It's true. And so I would be more concerned about utilizing the years that I have.
That's right.
And I thank God for technology. I thank God for, you know, being able to understand things. Technology is everywhere, what we're doing with the programs and reaching out around the world. But what we also learned when we were transitioning from paper to plastics, what we call it, when we were trying to figure out how to manage everything that we're doing using paper methodologies and paper planning systems, and you had all this digital managing systems as well, we found out when you left paper, you left your ability to grip reality if you let the technology go off and take you into some never, we call it the dark ages, where, yeah, you're able to write down every task you got to do, set every appointment. You can build a huge database of people's names and information, how to reach them. But it's like, you don't know it. It's controlling you.
That's right.
And what we discovered was, for our own personal revelation, this might be for you, you can pray about it, is that technology, you got to decide, am I going to submit to technology, or is technology going to submit to me?
Mm-hmm.
What we discovered was, if technology submits to the vision and the call and what God has called us to do, or called, you know, as a believer to do, then that's totally fine. But the moment it oversteps, and it'd be real easy to do if you're looking at all these different things, you have to say no. So you have to be, you can say yes until it takes you away from your personal relationship with God, when it begins to put itself in between you and God. And they're working, I mean, this is, you know, Mark Zuckerberg.
Mm-hmm.
The founder of Facebook, was he 27?
I think so,
29?
Yeah. I mean, under 30.
His frontal lobe, according, I'm sure, to Dr. Agus here, I don't know, just developed recently. So, I mean, that's pretty young to be in this kind of control over a billion plus people on the face of the earth. He's saying that Facebook will be smarter than a human being.
Mm.
Why? Because they're gathering all this data, and people are sharing everything. I mean, everything on social media is like, that's not going to go away. And so at some point, it's going to come to a point we have to say, you know, if I die, I die, but I'm going to stay loyal to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So it's not about living forever here in this life. It's about living in eternity with God forever, where there's no sin, no pain, no sicknesses, all these things we're trying to avoid here. It's not there. And, or we can live for this life alone and gain the entire world, but lose our soul. And then we spend eternity separated from God, the giver of life himself. Think about this. All these things that men have come up with, even to the point where they're creating technology, trying to rebuild the brain, but they found out to build a brain, but they found out it's a little bit more complicated than they thought. And even partners for people literally have a technical, computerized, human being looking a robot that would be your partner in life. I mean, partnership has been messed up so much already. It's like, anyway, so we got the line's coming soon. And this is the thing is, you got to be able to live with your relationship with God with a Bible, a pencil, or a pen, and a blank journal.
Mm.
And this is so important. One way you're going to know about this is learning how to abide with the Lord. You need to depend on His voice, a relationship with Him. And many people want to do it. They just need a simple plan to be able to do that. And guess what? We have a free, simple plan for you to just kind of walk through. What does it mean to abide with God? Because John 15, when Jesus is writing in the Gospel of John 15, He says, you're going to blow this thing if you don't abide with me. I mean, He didn't say it that way. He's just saying you can do nothing outside of an abiding relationship with Him. It's going to get so complicated and so crazy with this technology and what people lean on versus leaning on God. You're going to need to have an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. We got it totally set up for you. It'll just rock your world. It'll change your world. And you'll be confident that you won't be paranoid that you'll end up taking some mark or doing something. Go to iabide.org. That's where it is. We have that plan for you right now. You just fill out the little simple information where it'll come to you right away in your email. You can begin to learn how to abide immediately. And you'll find out you'll be just peaceful. No matter all this crazy stuff going on, you're not worried about it because you know the Lord's voice is going to lead you and guide you. It's simply at iabide.org. Get your free plan today. We've got a great offer for you.
We're so excited about this offer we have available for our VFN TV partners. For your partnership for any amount whatsoever, we have this offer. We'll send to you DVD or online where you can watch it. It's called One Thing in 2016. Offer 2001 is learning the keys to success, prosperity, and peace no matter what or who may come your way. This is so important to be able to keep your peace and focus on the Lord, just like David did. When all these things were happening against King David, he was just doing his job, but an entire government was coming against him led by Saul. Guess what he did? He focused on the one thing. This is an encouraging word. We have it for you for any gift whatsoever. Just go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, click on partnering, or you can actually call 844-408-3688 or write to VFNTV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. One thing in 2016. God bless.
Thank you for being with us today and watching VFN-TV, where we keep the conversation light and we're focused on Israel.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a student be punished for not participating in a school event because of a religious commitment? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a 17-year-old girl in my church, and we preach and teach that the Bible, you know, clearly states to be faithful to church and everything. This girl has taken this to be a conviction of her faith. Well, she goes to a public school and is in a band class, but because she is missing one band concert to go to a church service, the teacher is telling her that she's going to fail the class for the year.
There is no way that could happen. I mean, they could try to do that, but that cannot be the way it's supposed to be. And in a situation like this, they're supposed to give her an exemption. If a concert was scheduled, say, on Yom Kippur, would they say they're going to give the student an F because they're not coming to a concert on Yom Kippur? Of course not. Same thing here on church attendance. That's just wrong.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and
It's there for you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, that's amazing. If you missed it, we're talking about technology and what we do. The answer has always been, but more than ever before, is abiding with the Lord.
Always.
I mean, isn't it great? Just spending time with God,
abiding. The saddest part of the day is leaving your abiding time. That's right. The saddest part.
It is. And you hear people say, read 3 chapters and do this and do that. And it's like, that's robotic and it can tend to be religious. But imagine meeting with God every day in the garden of your experience, wherever you abide with him. And he just speaks to you through his word and just encourages you. And a simple pattern to doing that. And it gives you enough confidence to be on national television.
Yeah, it does. Quality over quantity. Spend time with the Lord.
Well, I mean, understand this, that when you spend time with the Lord listening to him, you're going to hear what he has to say.
That's right.
And he will say things like, you need to be on television. You need to be light. It's amazing what he says. I think a lot of people are scared to hear the voice of God because he might change their plans.
You're probably right.
But his plans are good. His plans are good. We're going to have to answer for our life. And when we say no to his plans and yes to our plans, it won't be good at the throne room of God for us.
Yeah.
So it's better to hear now what he wants us to do. And you'll find out it was better than any plan you had anyway. You'll be surprised.
And you'll find out who's the Lord of your life at that point. Yeah. When he's the Lord, then he's the one that's giving you direction, instruction, guidance.
Yeah.
And you're not taking your own. Yeah. I have found that I've taken my own guidance. that doesn't work well. But when I listen to what God has to say, it's amazing how good things turn out.
It's totally amazing how that works. And so get your plan today, iabide.org. Get it. Begin to learn how to walk with him. It's going to get so complicated that you may have ran your life out of your brain, out of your mind. But your mind needs to be renewed and submitted to God. So you can't just run it's been kind of a safe zone in America with all the freedom that we've had and the way things were. But there's going to be a transition point that even the very elect could be deceived, even if it was possible, which means great deception. Great deception. And it's amazing how prevalent it really is. And it's just amazing how it really is. Think about that video. Just because, anyway, you need to abide. You need to abide with the Lord. We're not going to go. We don't have time to go there. Justice. How much is God into justice? When we find out how just he is, it puts the fear of God in my heart. It makes you want to repent. We have available right now for all of our partners. It's available to you right now, the VFN TV partner area. It's called No One Cries for Justice. You need to hear this because, first of all, it'll help you understand how just God is. Secondly, then you take a look at yourself and go, I'm in trouble.
That's right.
Because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. But then we find out he's so just, he actually served his justice on his son. Justice had to be served.
Yeah, if we don't cry out for justice, it means we don't understand justice.
Right. And what Jesus did, he's so just that he served justice on Jesus so that he can have a relationship with us. And Jesus loved us so much, he took what was due us. That's justice. And you look today, and you look at the Christians, and it's like, are we even concerned about injustice at all? Dr. King set an excellent example of, how to, as an American Christian, how to walk in the streets under God's law, under the law of the land, but just stand up for injustice that's taking place. Poverty, unrighteous wars taking place, and racism that was taking place, in our nation. And we have to begin to do that. But I think about this. I think about a debate that was taking place with Dinesh D'Souza, which used to be president of King's College. Now he's like a documentary. He filmed the movie.
Author.
The movie was America. Imagine the
2016.
World without him. America 2016.
No, I'm sorry. I think it was Obama 2016. Then he made a movie about America.
Yeah, America. Imagine the World Without Her. And because of that, it looks like some injustices took place. But it was very interesting because he was talking about, what's the vision? What is the vision? If there's fundamental transformation, what is it? And we're seeing the radical Islam, what they're saying as ISIS is they want to take everybody back to the 1600s. That's what he said in the movie way back when. And so it was helping us get some understanding. But he is with Bill Ayers, is a known terrorist yes. in America that was allegedly connected to blowing up, throwing a bomb, putting a bomb on the Pentagon, government buildings. And they're debating each other on the stage. Bill Ayers gets no jail time at all. Dinesh D'Souza gave money to somebody, more money than he should have, to a campaign. And they put Dinesh D'Souza in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Now, take a look at this and how unjust, and realize if we don't stand up for justice, we're next. If we wait too late, we're bait. Take a look at this.
Do either of you feel our criminal justice system has become too political?
Okay. The inequity of our criminal justice system is on full display right on this podium right here. So I gave $20,000 of my own money over the campaign finance limit. I got 8 years, 8 months, and overnight confinement.
8 months or 8 years?
8 months.
That's, you said 8 years.
You bombed the Pentagon and tried to bomb all kinds of other things. How much time did you do in the slammer?
So you look at this.
Wow.
That when people are treated unjustly, I mean, this, you have to hear the story, the testimony. We'll have Dinesh D'Souza's testimony when he was in prison, but he's sitting there with the, you know, drug lords and high crimes, and they're asking him what he did, and they couldn't believe that he was serving time. But also, you develop an empathy to understand, how we're treating folks in prison, and whether we're just or unjust, and these different things going on. But this guy, Bill Ayers, in the '60s, and you know, some of the reports are that whether they were walking side by side, the same spirit, the same attitude was Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of all the folks that are there. Saul Alinsky. President Barack Obama, but he mm-hmm. wasn't president back then. But they were kind of what was the lady over Woman's Magazine? Women,
Gloria
Steinem, Gloria Steinem. And so we're seeing here is that whole generation that tried to come against the government from the outside. Well, Hillary Clinton wrote a paper, her thesis about, and she was mentored by Saul Alinsky, and these are Saul Alinsky's. You know, President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton both were mentored in some way by Saul Alinsky. Hillary Clinton wrote a paper, a thesis, and her graduate paper from school on Saul Alinsky.
Saul Alinsky's book is dedicated to both Hillary and
yes, it President. Is. You probably can see it on your screen. But so look at this. And the book's called Rules for Radicals. And it's dedicated. The book's dedicated. The author who wrote the book dedicated it to Lucifer, who used these tactics for the very first time. But what her paper basically is saying is that you've been trying to do this from the outside. You really need to get on the inside, and you can flip America if you get on the inside. Saul Alinsky thought you had to be on the outside to push from the outside. And what happened, two of his spiritual children, if you think about Revelation chapter 2, following his teachings, now they're on the inside. And we haven't even begun to see the injustice taking place, and it's going to, plain as day, you're looking at the stage right there. You saw firsthand where you have a man who admittedly was part of the Weather Underground.
Yeah.
That was part of saying, you know, American government's evil. They're connected to blowing up FBI buildings, a
Some
judge.
Of their own people have died in their
yeah.
acts.
Well, one of his, I think it was his fiance or his girlfriend that was mm-hmm. building a bomb that she got blown up reportedly in her apartment. And he even writes about it in her book because he was being interviewed by Megyn Kelly on mm-hmm. Fox News. And she's saying, it's in your book. I mean, it's in your book. But a judge's home that – so you had this guy blowing up the government and attacking America on the stage with Dinesh D'Souza, who writes about America. Imagine the world without her. You know, Obama 2016. What is it going to look like? What is the goal? And president of King's College and just loves America and wants mm-hmm. to see America succeed. And he talks about, out of all the countries, you know, America's done some bad things, but comparatively speaking, it's doing really well, and it changes, and it's getting better right. as time goes on. But I think about this, and we're going to go to a break. But listen, Isaiah 59, God specifically talks about it in his word about the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, specifically about, you probably can see it on your screen, about we have to be involved in justice because God's a just God. This is what he says. His word says this. He says, let me put some, there we go. Hey, it says something very, yeah, there we go, right there. It says, transgressing and denying the Lord. That's what's taking place today, right? Transgressing and denying the Lord and turning away from our God. You're seeing that take place. Mm-hmm. Speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. That's what we're seeing. Mm. Justice is turned back. So when you see stuff like that with somebody for 20, you know, campaign donation versus somebody blowing up government buildings, justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away. And right now, people are standing very far away, people who know that's not right, but they're not stepping up and going like, that's wrong. We can't do that. That's unjust. You can't do this.
Isn't that amazing? We would stand for injustice towards us, but really we have to cry out for the injustice of those who have no voice, for the least fortunate among us.
And one evidence of that is crying out for the unborn child.
Yes. So
that's why you have to do that if we want justice to be, because if you wait too late, you're bait. Then he says, righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the streets, and that's what we're seeing take place, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself prey. Mm. So when we turn aside from this and don't pay attention to it, we're going to be the target of it. I mean, we're going to be the target of this evil. And then he says, now the Lord says, now the Lord saw, and it was very displeasing to him because there was no justice. And we're seeing people treated with the poor. If you see people treated racially wrong because they're being, racism is against them. People are hating them just because of the color of their skin, or xenophobia, where people are hating people just because of their nationality, or seeing things like Dinesh D'Souza. That's over and over again. We're seeing that take place. And we have to step in there. And the thing about it is, you got to go listen to it. And you can partner for any amount whatsoever, by the way. Go to VFNTV.com, click on partner now. And for any amount whatsoever, you have access to all these things. But one of them is knowing Christ for justice and listen to it. It makes you want to run to the cross because justice is going to come down like a mighty river. That's what he talked about over and over again. Dr. King talked about. It's what God's word talks about. And it's going to come down like a mighty river, and it's going to wash over and play havoc on those who stood afar and didn't say something about it. And the only reason that myself or John can say something about it, not because we haven't sinned or made mistakes or do what's wrong in God's eyes, it's because we owned up to it and said, God, you know, I've sinned. Lord, forgive me. And we're covered at that point by the blood of Jesus. And you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. That's the only way out of this, is running to the cross and depending completely and totally on the finished work of Jesus Christ. I got more to talk to you about on this, including a Holy Land tour with Franklin Graham and his daughter, Sissy Lynch. Very powerful, powerful time. Join us.
Men will recognize that out of one blood, God made all men dwell upon the face of the earth. Let us be dissatisfied until that day when nobody will shout white power, when nobody will shout black power, but everybody will talk about God's power and human power.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN-TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings, and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm so excited about the next part in our series, 7 Days in the Holy Land with Franklin Graham and his daughter, Sissy Lynch. Capernaum is a beautiful place. I remember when Pat and I got a chance to go there and take a look at all the ruins and the city was there, and they're going to be right in the very place that we were. But let's just join them now. This is Franklin Graham and his daughter, Sissy Lynch, taking his daughter and his granddaughter because she's pregnant right now. They're in this thing. It's a beautiful thing. Let's go to the Holy Land.
Sissy, right now we're at Capernaum. We're pretty sure because of the ruins here in the synagogue and what they have found that this is Capernaum, that this was Jesus' headquarters, and this is where he lived during much of his ministry. Probably one of the best known stories is the crippled man who came to Jesus. His friends carried him on his bed. And Jesus is in a home, he's teaching. And there's so many people, you can't even get to the door. And right somewhere in this area, Sissy, these men were so frustrated they couldn't get in. But you know, it didn't stop them. These are pretty smart guys. They climb up on the roof and they just start taking the roof up. And they stood over top of Jesus and they took their friend on their mattress and they just let him down right smack dab in front of Jesus. And Jesus saw that faith. And that's what he wants to see. He wants to see faith. He said to the crippled man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up and took his mat and he walked out in full view of all. And this amazed everyone and they praised God. And they said, "We've never seen anything like this before."
As I reflect on where we are, and what we're seeing, I'm moved by the bigger picture. Yes, it's exciting to physically walk where Jesus walked, but it's even more thrilling to follow his example and answer his call on our lives. To be set apart, to be a light in the darkness, and to make a difference in this world.
We just want to pray right now. Genocide needs to be identified for what it really is. There's genocide against Christians. This technology is going on. All these things taking place. Let's just turn to God right now. Father God, we thank you that you lead us into all truth. We thank you that you lead us beside the still waters, that you prepare a table before us, and even in the presence of our enemy. God, I thank you, Lord, that when we abide with you and spend time with you, you lead us. Your voice leads us. You said your sheep know your voice. I pray for each and every one, Lord, that is listening and watching God, that they would begin to develop a personal, not religious, but a personal abiding relationship with you, Lord God, to be fruitful and relational with no fear, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We pray that our leadership will wake up and identify Christian genocide as it is, what's taking place, Father God. We thank you for the European Parliament that has stood up unanimously and said that's exactly what it is. Lord, we ask you, Lord, end this persecution, Lord God, of the Jews and Christians and people on the face of the earth. Dear God, forgive us, Lord, where we've sinned and have not stood up for the unjust things taking place, and help us to come alert and show us how to stand up for just causes, Lord God. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, and we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion, that you would send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has it affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear him clearly, and it's beautiful. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
He says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing. And he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life. And it's just amazing where he leads you. Right. You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures and there it is. And like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God. And by alone with God,
mm-hmm.
they all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages? The children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though,
yeah.
to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
If you're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It will be sent to you immediately in your email, iabide.org.